Find John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 tonight. And go ahead, Joan. Go ahead.
Well, I know we're starting a new year Sunday.
Yes, ma'am.
And I've seen a lot of miracles in this year, 2016.
Boy, it's been a busy year for y'all, ain't it?
The one I'll never forget is how God spared Tracy and her family.
Amen.
And how everybody from this church and seemed like all over the world helped her. And not only that, I've seen miracles. I've seen people healed in this church this year.
That's right.
I've seen miracles.
Amen.
And yes. I just had to say something.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in this church and in the world in 2017.
I am too. I'm looking forward
to it.
I agree with you, Joan. I really do. God bless you. Amen.
He's still answering prayers.
He sure is.
Nothing's impossible.
Praise the Lord. That's right. Wasn't it about a year ago next month when the fire happened? Yeah, February. Okay, so first February. Caleb was born in January, and then just a few days after that when the fire happened. Amen. Amen.
I said, that's what God will do.
That's right. That's exactly right. And
I might just be odd and stand out.
Nope. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you, Joan. Go ahead. Amen. That's right.
And I tell Kyle every day, he's the closest friend you'll ever have. And he'll
always be. Amen. Amen. That's right, sister. That's the way it is, I tell you. Go ahead, Daryl. Go ahead.
I say that's what the Bible tells you to do.
That's what the Bible tells you to do.
Exactly.
And speak for the Lord and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. And I appreciate that. Anybody else? That's good. I'll let that keep going. I think we got some of that. And amen. Well, if you'll stand to honor the reading of the Word of God, John chapter 1. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Skip down to verse 9. "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." But notice verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the precious testimony we've heard tonight and the song of the message of Christ being born and what you have done for those in our church family this past year. Thank you, Lord, for safety. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you, Lord, that you've brought some precious new folks to our fellowship this past year, some who are even here tonight that were not here a year ago. We thank you for that. Lord, we look forward with great anticipation of what you're going to do next year. But until next year comes, Lord, we've still got a few days left. Bless, Lord, these next few days. Bless this night, this message, this time we have. And everything that's be said, be your honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to conclude our time of sermons and Bible studies along the theme of Christmas. I love Christmas sermons, Christmas Bible studies. Jeannie and I have often talked about singing Christmas carols in July. Just to break it up, you know. We've talked about that. If she'll lead the songs in June or July, I'll preach Christmas sermons in June or July. All right? Y'all good with that? I will do that. And, it'll confuse the daylights out of some people. They really will. You know, some folks who only show up on Sunday morning, you know, and they looking around, they'll start looking at the calendar. What day is this? Why are they singing Christmas songs, you know? But as we come to this wonderful month, as we finish up a wonderful year, I want to go here in the passage we've just read in the Gospel of John. You say, well, preacher, that's not a Christmas story. It doesn't give details. In John's Gospel, it does not give us details of the Christmas story like Matthew and Luke do. They give us the details of the angels appearing to Mary and Joseph. They give us the shepherd's story. They give us the wise men's visit later on and all of those things surrounding the birth of Christ. But I am convinced that these verses that I've just read, and the ones we'll conclude with in a minute, preach the Christ of Christmas very clearly and preach the message and the meaning of Christmas without any confusion. It is that the Word, that is Jesus, became flesh. It was that in the beginning, this Word, and you notice in your English Bible, that W of the word is capitalized, referring to that it is referring to Jesus Himself, that He was in the beginning. Now, I want you to notice three things about the Word tonight. You can write these down on the back of the paper where your prayer list is or in your Bible, as I do a lot of times. But as we bring this, what I've entitled the Word at Christmas, notice number one. We see in verse 1, we see the Word revealed. John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. I've heard others say this, and I know what they're meaning, but they're wrong on their theology. When they say that Jesus began at Christmas. No. Jesus wrapped in human flesh showed up at Christmas in Bethlehem in the manger, but Jesus has always been from the beginning. He is the same as God. He is with God. He was God. He is the Son of God. And so He has been from the beginning. He always has been. He always is and always will be. And these verses help us to understand the revealing of the Word. Understand that in John's day, John, at the time he's writing this gospel, is in his mid to late 90s. He's the last surviving original 12 apostles. He's the last one left by many years. And there had already crept into the church and into the culture and society the teaching that Jesus wasn't really God. He wasn't the Son of God. In fact, there was teaching in that day that was being embraced by the culture and even religious circles to say that Jesus never claimed to be God. That was the reason for John writing his gospel and his three mini epistles later on, is to counteract those things, because John's going, I was there. You're wrong. I was there. And so John writes this to help us understand that the Word was revealed and Jesus just didn't show up in the manger in Bethlehem. He's always been. He's always been. It was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit who got together and says, this is how we're going to do this. And the time of Adam and Eve's fall in the garden, when that happened, they had already had the plan laid out of how this was going to happen. Jesus was going to come into the world and be the Savior. So we see, first of all, the Word revealed. And he takes these verses to show about verse 3. All things were made by Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. In Him was the light of men. And then he goes into verse 9 that was the true light. Now notice in verse 9, do you see also in your English translation, the word light is a capital L? Now, who are we referring to? We're not referring to the light bulb. We're referring to Jesus. That's right. He was that light. But notice number two. Not only we see the word revealed, but would you notice verse 10? We see the word rejected. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, verse 11, and his own received him not. The word rejected. The very creation that he spoke into existence, the one from the very beginning that he oversaw since the beginning of time. And when Jesus came to reveal himself, when God said, I'm going to show you what I'm like, I'm going to send my son, I'm going to wrap him in human flesh, and he's going to live among you, and he's going to be like you, he's going to be with you, and I want you to know what God the Father is like through God the Son. And when he came, they rejected him. They didn't like him. They didn't want him. That wasn't the kind of God they wanted. That wasn't the kind of Messiah they were looking for. That wasn't the kind of Redeemer they thought they should have. And that's the problem many times in our world today. People want to have God on their own terms. That they want a God that's like them, not a God that tells them what they're really like. And that's why they won't accept. That's why they reject. Because God is not what they want. They'd rather have a God in a red suit and a jolly beard and a ho-ho-ho and eight little reindeer walks around. That's what kind of God they really want. But God's not like that. God sent His Son to show the world what He's really like. That He's a God of love, a God of compassion, a God of justice and a God of judgment, a God of mercy. But notice that that word was rejected. They rejected Jesus. Could you imagine? We sit here today, man, what would have been like to have seen Jesus in the flesh, face to face? Oh, wouldn't that have been good? Watch him walk on water, watch him break bread and feed 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. Watch him raise the dead, watch him heal the blind, and watch him do all that kind of stuff. And the very people who saw that rejected him. Nailed him to a cross. Because he wasn't the God they wanted. Folks, this world still does the same thing. We got to show them the love of God. We've got to show them the compassion. We got to witness. We got to pray. We got to be faithful. We got to be serving. But even though that word was rejected by some, notice verse 12, number 3. We see that the word can be received. The word's revealed, the word's rejected, but notice in verse 12, the word received. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Even though there was enough that rejected him, that nailed him to a cross, there were still those standing around that crossed and said, I believe he's the Son of God. I trust him for my salvation. There was the old leper who came back and said, thank you. There was that demon-possessed woman who had been delivered and she followed him and worshipped him. There were those who were blind but now could see that said, truly, he is the Son of God. Even his closest disciples, at the cross we only find the mention of one close enough to the cross. But I'm convinced by reading the epistles and the rest of the New Testament that somehow, some way, I think Peter and the rest of those fellows weren't too far away. Maybe they were peeking and looking and standing on their tiptoes and wanting to see, but John was the only one that was close enough to even be mentioned at the cross. But there was enough that received him. When he rose from the dead, and he gave them the great commission to go into all the world. In just a few short years, the Bible says they turned the world upside down with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it won't take much for us to change our world if people of God just get right with God. If people who claim to be Christians would get right with God, we could win this world to Christ. It wouldn't be any real problem. But we think that the world's too good. We want to have a little bit of that. We want to be like the world, and we want to be accepted by the world. We don't want to be rejected by our friends and our family and our co-workers. Listen, Jesus was rejected by one of his own disciples. Jesus was rejected by his own family. But to as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Those that believe in the name. It's time that we understand that the same Jesus who is rejected is the same Jesus who can be received. And when we receive him, we have been given the power to do things that you wouldn't believe if you just trust him. Like Miss Joan just shared in testimony, who would have believed when we stood here last year on our final service of everything that their family would face? Who would believe what you would have faced, Brother Dot, this past year? And many of you and your family, my family, we would never dreamed what was ahead for us. But we know we could face it because we have the power within us that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that's in us. So the Word is revealed. The Word was rejected. The Word can be received. So preacher... Where's Christmas in all this? Notice verse 14. John brings this introduction to his entire gospel to a conclusion by saying this. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. That's what the angel meant when he told Mary, you're going to give birth to a son, but the daddy is not Joseph. You're going to be conceived of the Holy Spirit. You're going to conceive as a virgin. You're going to give birth as a virgin. I don't know how to explain that. Mary just said, okay, Lord, whatever you want to do, that's fine. The Word was made flesh. That's Christmas. That's what Christmas is. That's what the angel meant when he told Joseph. Joseph, it's okay to take her to be your wife. She hasn't been unfaithful to you. That which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And that which is going to be born is going to be the Son of God. And he shall save his people from their sins. You'll name him Jesus. Joseph said, okay, let's do it. The Word was made flesh. I heard Dr. B.R. Lakin, great evangelist. Oh, Dr. B.R. Lakin. He was the last of the circuit riding evangelist preachers from up in the Appalachian Mountains of Virginia, down into the Smokies of North Carolina and into West Virginia and all of that. He was last of the circuit riding. I got to hear him preach myself. No, he was not still riding a horse when I saw him. I'm not that old. He was riding a car by this time. Came to our church and preached. He said this. He said, do you realize that the first Christmas wrapping paper was flesh? Human flesh. God wrapped up his gift of his Son in human flesh and gave it to the world. Boy, that's good stuff. That's good. Amen, that's good. But a lot of people have trouble understanding and accepting this whole thing about God becoming man. And this whole thing about Christmas. And I think that's why the culture and all the folks want to get rid of it. They don't want to see manger scenes. And they don't want to see baby Jesus. And they don't want to sing songs that have Jesus in them. Because it reminds them that God had done something for them and they've rejected it. They don't want to be reminded of them rejecting it. One of my favorite stories, and I close with this. It's a story that Paul Harvey would tell every Christmas. I would hear it on the radio. Never got to meet him in person. I've seen him on television, of course, and I heard this, and I've heard it for many years, and printed it out a long time ago, and I believe it just really summarizes what John is saying here in John chapter 1, the Word at Christmas being made flesh. This is his story. It's called The Man and the Birds. And I'm just going to quote it as Paul Harvey read it. The man to whom I'm going to introduce you was not a Scrooge. He was a kind, decent, mostly good man. Generous to his family, upright in his dealings with other men. But he just didn't believe all that incarnation stuff which the churches would proclaim at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense, and he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just couldn't swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. I'm truly sorry to distress you, he told his wife, but I'm not going to church with you this Christmas Eve. He said he felt like a hypocrite, that he'd just rather just stay at home, but that he'd wait up for them. So he stayed. His family went off to the midnight Christmas Eve service. Shortly after the family drove away in the car, snow began to fall. He went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier. And then he went back to his fireside chair and began to read his newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound. Then another. Sort of a thump or a thud. At first, he thought someone must be throwing snowballs against his living room window. But when he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. They had gotten caught in the storm, and in a desperate search for shelter, had tried to fly through his large landscape window of his living room. Well, he thought he couldn't let the poor creatures lie there and freeze, so he remembered the barn where his children keep their pony. That would provide a warm shelter, and if he could just direct the birds to the barn. Quickly, he put on a coat and galoshes and tramped through the deepening snow to the barn. He opened the door to the barn wide and turned on the light. But the birds did not come in. He figured, well, maybe food would entice them. So he hurried back to the house, fetched some breadcrumbs, and sprinkled them on the snow, making a trail to the yellow-lighted, wide-open doorway of the stable. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs, and they continued to flap helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around and waving his arms. Instead, they just scattered in every direction, except to the safety of the warm, lighted barn. But then he realized that the birds were afraid of him. To them, he reasoned, I'm a strange, terrifying creature. If I could only think of some way to let them know they could trust me, that I am not trying to hurt them, but I'm trying to help them. But how am I going to do that? Because any move he made tended to frighten them and confuse them. They just wouldn't follow him. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. He began to think to himself, if I could only be a bird and mingle with them and speak their language, then I could tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to a safe, warm barn. But I would have to become one of them so that they could see and they could hear and they could understand. And at that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears above the sounds of the wind. And he stood there. And as he listened to the bells pealing the glad tidings of Christmas, he realized that That's what Jesus did at Christmas. He became one of us to be like us so that we wouldn't have to be afraid of God. And so God could show us the way to safety and warmth. And at that moment, the man sank to his knees in the snow. And he called upon the one who had become flesh and dwelt among us. And as Paul Harvey says, good day. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for coming into our world to be our Savior. Thank you for becoming one of us to show us what we needed to know and what we needed to hear. And on this Christmas, as we conclude this final week of this year and this final service of 2016, we give you praise and honor and glory for coming into our world. May we share that message of hope, joy, and peace to a world that's desperately searching for it. As we close out this year, I want to thank you for all that you've done in 2016 and look forward with great anticipation what you're going to do again in 2017. We give you praise and honor and glory for it all. And this I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Happy